Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IVKUL.com. What an Open Championship. Ryan Fox with a birdie on 18 grabbed the Open Championship title, winning his first major championship at 10 under. The 39-year-old from New Zealand beat Cameron Young by one. Young was waiting in the clubhouse with that 9 under, carding a 6 under 64 on Sunday. Seven birdies, but a bogey on the final hole. Sam Burns, who led by two heading into the final round, did not have his best day. A plus 272 knocked him down to solo third. Scottie Scheffler and local favorite Tommy Fleetwood, they finished at 7 under, 3 behind, tied for fourth place. And all eyes were also on Bryson DeChambeau. He struggled with a plus 2 and finished tied for 14th. And joining me now to talk about all of this, it is my pleasure to welcome in Paul Ailes, winner on the DP World Tour, a member of Royal Birkdale, and a commentator with RNA Open Radio. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Paul, Ryan Fox carded that record-tying 62 on Saturday, and then in the final round, he birdied four of the last six holes, including that dramatic birdie on 18 to grab the victory. Do you know anybody who picked Ryan Fox to win this?
Other than people from New Zealand that know him well, no, I wouldn't have thought so. He was kind of an outsider, but obviously shooting the 62 was, threw him right into the top end and the sharp end of the field. And to finish the way he did, wow, that was just sensational golf he played.
Where were you during the final round?
I was lucky enough, I was assigned to him with Matt Adams for the Open Radio. So I got to watch every single shot and was there on 18 when he rolled that putt in.
Well, what I love, and I read that he told his caddy that we're going to try and win and I'll deal with whatever consequences happened afterwards. And he said he hit two of the best shots of his career. Can you talk about it?
Well, 18 is a particularly difficult hole. It's over 500 yards playing as a par four. The wind was off the left-hand side. You stand on the tee box and all you can see is a sea of sand. You can't see a fairway down there. And he absolutely striped it miles down. Left himself, I think, around about 170 yards to go, and was either an 8-iron or a 9-iron that was just never left the flag. Came up 11, 12 feet short, and the rest is history. He rolled it straight in the middle.
Yeah, he just clobbered that drive, like 330 yards, right down the middle. I think he used a 9-iron from, 175 yards and made an 11-foot, 7-inch putt for birdie. And he wastes no time when he plays, right?
Sure. I think that's how he's always played. And he's working with psychologist Carl Morris. And that was one of the things they said, just don't give you any time to think negative. You know, you're clear with it. Don't need to go into conversation with the caddy. You know what you're doing. See the shot, pull the club, play the shot. And that's exactly what we saw. I think it was somebody recorded, I saw 22 seconds from Sam Burns picking the ball out of the hole to him actually holding out. So quite remarkable, really.
And what a great story. He's 39 years old. He did not join the DP World Tour until he was 30. And then he said he was 37 when he was a rookie on the PGA Tour, and then 39 winning a major championship. That's a pretty inspirational story.
It is. It was obviously a long apprenticeship and took him a while to get going, a late bloomer, as you say. But I think he tried other sports, got a rich sporting heritage, and came to golf a little bit later after trying cricket and rugby. And it just takes time. He never believed that he wasn't going to play well. It just kept going and going and going. As I say, it was a huge part of the DP World Tour when he joined. ever so popular amongst the guys on tour and all the caddies. Just, you know, what you see on the TV is kind of how he is. There's no edge to him. He's never going to get above his station. And you know, obviously went over to the PGA Tour. Did he win in Canada the first year, or see? I don't know.
Yeah, he
Maybe he
did win the
won.
Canadian Open for sure.
Yeah, so I think he's either won once or twice on PGA Tour, which was no surprise to us guys over here in Europe. You know, we knew the power. He just hammers the golf ball as hard as he can, and with the putting touch that he's displayed this week, he's got both ends of the spectrum going there, and so no surprise really.
Well, he was 52nd at the midway point. So what a comeback.
Yeah, it helps when you shoot course record 62, doesn't it, in round three? That sort of puts you in contention. And the weather was strange. You know, the wind was so-called lay down or in the wrong direction in the morning, and then it switched to the northwesterly, which is the prevailing wind for Royal Birkdale. And that really caught one or two of the guys out. And as the statistics bore out, the 17th, a par five, was the easiest hole all week, and 18 was the toughest hole all week. So to birdie the toughest hole in the final round tells you something about the guy himself, doesn't it?
It's a great, great story. What a positive ending for an Open Championship, particularly since there was so much controversy with the Bryson DeChambeau episode.
Yeah, that was a shame, wasn't it, that he made it about himself, really. But I don't think there's any surprises in the golfing world what sort of came out there. Obviously disturbing for everybody. Guys hadn't got the tee times for the following day till gone 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, it wasn't just about him. He was disturbing an awful lot of other people with his actions there. But, you know, I suppose you probably know Bryson better than I do. We just see him over here and admire his golfing ability, but on this occasion, he didn't do himself any favors.
What is your opinion on the two-stroke penalty that he was assessed on Friday?
And I don't think there's any doubt the pictures are quite clear there. You know, not that I'm a rules expert, but when you've got the best rules experts in the world all talking to each other, getting, you know, these pictures were pretty damning. And you know, and they just assessed him the two shot penalty, saying it was, you know, an accidental improvement of his swing path, which it obviously was when you see he stands behind the ball. So it's not just the line of the shot going forward, it's obviously backwards. So and he could get a clear backswing at it to chop it out. So disappointing, because he'd done so well on that Friday afternoon to get right up there at the top of the leaderboard. The two shots added to the scorecard obviously unsettled him, and he was never quite the same player on the weekend.
Yeah, it's too bad. I at first thought that he should have given the benefit of the doubt because it was hard to tell where his backswing was, and where the ball was with all those replays. But and you know it was a wedge too, so he probably had more of an upright backswing. But then as I studied the footage and listened to the rules officials, I guess it was quite clear that he. But you would have thought he would know better than to, you know, pretty much trample all that grass behind him. Are players getting careless? Was he the only one maybe targeted because, you know, the camera's following him all the time? Or are players obviously now going to be a little more careful when it comes to, you know, shots like that?
I think there's a lot to be said that the top players obviously take the media attention and most of the cameras, but I think the way the Open Championship was televised and most of the majors, I think every single shot for every single player is televised these days. So, you know, everybody's treated the same. He wasn't just picked upon because he made some clumsy actions, and it was, you know, the best I would say was very clumsy where he went in there. You know, as a professional, not to improve your lie, and you tread carefully. You know, the same would be, you know, if any other situation, any other lie, but to go in there and stomp the long grass down behind the ball was, it was pretty clear from the rules officials what they had to do.
And Rory McIlroy was not happy. He was quoted as saying, "To hold the tournament hostage like that, and to have all of us players, volunteers, everyone waiting on him, and you know, it was not a good look for Bryson." Do you agree?
Yeah, it wasn't really. I mean, I just saw, I came in late from the golf course and switched on the TV, and of course this was still going on because I wanted to see where the, where the draw and the cut was going to be, and who I was going to watch the following day, and for this to go on, and then the pictures of him coming out of the scorer's tent and then wandering to the practice ground with four baskets of golf balls. And that was, getting towards 9:30, quarter to 10 in the evening when the light was fading. That's just not fair on those people that are volunteering. And everybody else, his fellow competitors there, the draw couldn't be done until they knew he was going to be in the field.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he practices till late at every championship. So that didn't bother me as much as them saying, his agent in particular, that he might not play the weekend. That was a mistake, I thought. One of the local favorites, the local favorite, Tommy Fleetwood, got so much attention this past week. Can you talk about the atmosphere there and how, they responded to Tommy's play?
Yeah, in the build up, it was all about Tommy, and he's from the local town of Southport, and he's never hidden the fact that he would love to win the Open Championship, particularly in his hometown. And I was out with him for the third round, and literally he was cheered onto every green, from every green to the next tee. The applause, it's most unusual that Rory doesn't take the biggest crowds, but on this occasion, most of the following was behind Tommy's match, and I believe it was the same on Sunday. He had a standing ovation when he finished his round on Sunday, and just the joy that he brought to the hometown crowd, and then of course he handles himself so well as a professional. He's a credit to our game. And I'm sure he's inspiring an awful lot of youngsters to take up the game of golf.
That's true. He did handle the pressure just beautifully, and I'm sure he wanted it so bad, and he's wanted to win an Open Championship so bad, particularly in his hometown. But that was a thrill to watch him. And what were they talking about with Scottie Scheffler? Because Scottie hits the ball so well, tee to green, but he's had issues with putting this season.
Yeah, I watched him in round one, and again, it was just sensational. I followed him in the last round at Portrush last year, and he was picture perfect. Pretty much everywhere you want to hit the golf ball, he did it. But unfortunately, when it comes to the putting green, he doesn't put it in the hole like everybody else. I don't know where he start. I haven't seen those stats, but I would figure he was quite a way off Ryan Fox, who would have gained an awful lot of shots on him just on the putting green. Scotty, he handles himself so well. Obviously the disappointment there is coming in as the reigning Open champion and playing nicely, as he said in all these press conferences, how well he was playing, and he just couldn't convert all that good play into lower scores. But he's still around there. I'm not sure there's any secret sauce that he can put on that putting stroke, but it has worked from time to time, but it just seems to have gone cold at the moment.
Paul, you've been a member at Royal Birkdale for 13 years. Has the weather ever been that dry and that beautiful for an entire week?
It tends to get a little bit brown in the summertime these months, but we've had a particularly hot lead up into the Open. We had a couple of weeks where we had record temperatures in the UK. That sort of burnt off some of the rough, which was okay because I think it meant that the guys weren't just chopping out sideways as we see at some venues, that they could get to the ball and advance it toward the green. So from that point of view, it was good. But we do see it fiery. It changes obviously as the seasons change. It gets a little softer in the autumn time, and then the winter. We're lucky that we're sand based, that we can play 12 months of the year. But I think it was just set up absolutely perfect. And of course, you hear the top players. How do you defend the golf course now for the guys that hit it so far? And they all say, well, firm greens and fast and running fairways. So I think that's what the green heads greenkeeper Sean McLean and his team did. They delivered. They delivered.
Do you feel that this Open reaffirmed that Royal Birkdale is one of the finest Open venues out there?
Yeah, obviously, I'm going to be a little bit biased. I do love Royal Lytham and St Anne's, which is about an hour's drive north of here, where the AIG Women's Open will be in a couple of weeks' time. That's also one of my favourite courses, and I think favourite because the fairways are pretty flat. Carnoustie is another great. I mean, they're all in their own right great, but I think when you think there were 362s and 10 under par one. It's testament to the quality of the golf course that the average score for the players in the field that week was actually just over par. So without any trickery, it was a fair test, and the weather was fine for them.
And it sounded like everybody was very positive about the changes because I know Royal Birkdale did a lot of revisions since the 2017 Open Championship.
Yeah, I think the new holes went down well, in particular the fifth hole that was had a lot of excitement there. Apart from Bryson, there was a lot of balls driven onto the green, lots of twos made, eagles made, and some fives and sixes made. And in fact, Ryan Fox was ever so lucky in the final round. He hooked his tee shot and very nearly finished in a little penalty area to the left, but he had a free drop away from a temporary obstruction and made a four and moved on. That could have easily been a six on a hole that's just over 300 yards. So that was good. All the tee boxes have been changed. The bunkers, I think, were absolutely in the right positions. Tom McKenzie, that was one of the things he did with the change, was audit all the bunkers. So I think there were net 21 less than we've had previously. So fewer bunkers. So you would think it would be easier, but it hasn't turned out that way for the top players. And of course, 15, the new par three, that really challenged the players. And in practice, it's 245. They were playing it into a wind, and the RNA decided it was too tough of a challenge, so they moved the tee box well forward, just to give the guys a chance. And then, of course, the wind turned around into its normal direction, which meant that that's how the hole was designed to be played. So then the tee box went back. So the players had got every chance, and I haven't heard anything, any mumbles from any of them. And we know the condition was as good as any that's ever been on record. So yeah, just I think that, and again, because the wind had died down, the RNA were able to speed up the greens, because on links courses, they're quite exposed to the strong winds, and if you get them too quick, the danger is that balls will blow off the place where they've come to rest, which nobody wants. Then you have to stop play. But on this occasion, they got the green speeds up to 11, which is slow by PGA Tour standards, but by Open standards, they're pretty good. And of course, the quicker the putt, the more the subtlety of the breaks comes into play. And there were some really juicy pin positions out there. When I saw the pin sheets most mornings, I thought, ooh, we're in for a bit of a treat here.
And plus the bunkers, even though, as you say, they were less with the modifications. I mean, to see some of the positions that these players had to get into just to hit out of these bunkers, I mean, they're tough, very tough. A lot of deep, deep bunkers on Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, we've actually shallowed the bunkers out, but of course, for the Open, some of the sand was removed, and made the firmness on the base of the bunkers for the top pros. But when you do that, then of course the back edges of the bunkers are a little steeper, and if you get unlucky and finish up against one of those, as Ryan Fox did on 15, you've got a choice to make. You can come out sideways, backwards, or do whatever, but you're not going to get toward the target. But he made a great bogey for there. If you can ever make a great bogey, he certainly made one, with his calmness of thought and his skills on 15.
What a display, Ryan Fox. It was just so much fun to watch. And when you talk about Royal Birkdale and you look at the champions that have won in its history with these Open Championships, Arnold Palmer in 61, Peter Thomson twice, Lee Trevino, Johnny Miller, Tom Watson, Ian Baker Finch, Mark O'Meara, Padraig, Jordan Spieth. I mean, the names are star quality. So it must be fun to be a member there, Paul.
Well, it really is, and we were lucky that usually the champion comes into the clubhouse after he's done all his media, and we have a staircase there. All the members gather in the hallway. The champion comes down the stairs, holds a trophy up, and everybody gets a chance to take a picture. And I think years to come, Ryan Fox will come back to Birkdale, and he will be an outstanding ambassador, not only for the Open Championship, but for Royal Birkdale, as we found I Ian Baker Finch to be. Dame Laura Davies has been made an honorary member, and she keeps returning to the club. And so we're very lucky with those champions that we honor with an honorary membership, that they tend to come back and represent the golf club at the highest level.
Tell us about your week.
Yeah, it's always great fun. When you're working with great professional broadcasters, I'm just there as an analyst, somebody who knows a little bit about golf and certainly a lot about the golf course. So it was kind of easy for me, not too much research needed at the start of the week. And so you get assigned to a match in a morning, you get a little bit of time in the studio, and we flip and flop around things. And then, of course, to work alongside Maddie Adams on Sunday and following the final group was just an absolute treat. So in the evening time, we're finishing late as well. So we're getting up to 10 o'clock when we get home. So by the time you've had a little bite to eat, it's into bed, and then you're back on the golf club at 6:30 the next morning. So they're long days, but very rewarding. And again, you get the best seat in the house.
It sounds like you just had an incredible week. What will your next assignment be?
I'm not really sure. I sit on the board of the DP World Tour, so obviously we've got some issues and challenges coming up with players coming back from LIV potentially. What's going to happen with our schedule alongside the new one on the PGA Tour, which has been announced by Brian Rolapp. So all these things are coming along, but then the day-to-day, our top executives of DP World are very good. We are a members organization, so I shall be no doubt on the end of phone calls, emergency meetings if things need to be discussed through, and just happy to support the tour and certainly the exciting talent that's emerging all the time.
The depth of talent is extraordinary, and you have a big job. I know there's a lot going on in the world of golf with the new schedule and everything else. So continued success. Next time you come on the show, we'll have to talk about some of these new decisions that the PGA Tour has decided upon and the DP World Tour, how that all fits in. Paul, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Anne. Thanks for having me.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IVKUL.com.